The Connection Podcast, connecting you to the life of the church community within the parish of Yate and the Froomside Benefice. So, hello and a huge welcome to this rebooted The Connection Podcast. My name is Justin Blackett. I am the host of The Connection Podcast and I'm joined by Reverend Ian Wallace. Hello, Ian.
Hello. Delighted to be here. Very excited about The Connection being reborn. It sort of seems very appropriate in the aftermath of Easter that we have a resurrection of the Connection. So, yes.
Absolutely. All good stuff. And that is correct. This is a kind of a reboot, a reborn of The Connection Podcast. And we're steering this ship in a slightly different direction than what we've done before. Connection Podcast, we've had some fantastic Bible study and delving into the Bible, and all of that content is still available and is still used within some of our small groups and home groups. However, this Connection Podcast for the new season is going to really start to celebrate some of the great work that happens around Yate Parish and the Froome side. So it's going to have a real mission area feel about it. And we're all really aware there is so much that goes on in the two areas that it would be great to have a space where we can celebrate some of the great work that we do.
Yeah, well, sort of getting to get grips with the nitty-gritty of mission area life. Is that
yeah,
right?
Yes. Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And we've got some great content coming up. And I think a lot of you are fully aware that we've got some great newsletters and emails and things that are on Facebook. And my plan is that I'm going to tap into some of that and bring some of those articles alive and talk to the people that are undertaking some of the great work making Jesus visible. Ian, it's great to have you with us, and I know you're an incredibly busy person, being the team rector for Yate Parish. But, of course, recently you've just handed over the baton of leadership of the mission area, and you've been there kind of from the start. And let's just talk about the mission area. What is that all about, and how has your time in that leadership role been?
Well, the mission area, I think, is a very exciting experiment, I suppose, really, because that's how it was launched by Bristol Diocese. It was trying out something new, a feeling that, in a sense, the church needs to be exploring new initiatives as a way, really, of trying to develop what it is doing in a different context. So, you know, what worked in the past isn't necessarily appropriate to the world that we are moving into. So very much we were given permission to experiment, try some things new, and it's been great actually working with Froomside. We've learnt quite a lot from them. I think they have learnt some stuff from us, and without doubt know that our collective lives have been enriched by working together. The statistics as well seem to demonstrate that actually we are stronger and more resilient as a result of this partnership that we're working together in the gospel. And the idea of handing over to Malcolm at this stage is very much part of a very, very much a sort of planned succession. The idea is that, when I retire, the leadership of the mission area will remain constant. And then when a new rector comes into Yate Parish, the baton will be handed back to that person, and then Malcolm will retire. So hopefully, I know that plans don't always work out, but the idea is that there will be this seamless leadership progression going forward.
So exciting to see that kind of partnership, and it's grown over the years, and I think by having the partnership in place, I think it made it all really strong during the period of COVID. Evidently, you know, we were all struggling to engage with church, but I think within the Froomside Benefice and Yate Parish as part of the big mission area, I think we were able to help each other out and really strengthen God's mission even when we were still locked up at home.
Yeah, very definitely. And the mission area, because it is this experiment, it gets evaluated by sort of people who come down from London. And certainly the reports that they produce about us are all very much indicating that this sort of shared learning, this sort of working together, this partnership has made us much more resilient and capable of weathering the sort of whatever you know, pandemics and things get thrown at us.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I can see the fruits of that today. And I look forward to continuing the way that this podcast will form, where we're going to celebrate even more of that. There's so much that goes on within the two areas that it'd be really good to celebrate that. Communicating with everybody, that I guess that's an incredibly important part of your job, to make sure everyone is involved. I mean, hopefully the podcast will enhance that.
It is important. I mean, communication is a perennial problem across churches. You know, we often sort of talk as a ministry team that, you know, well, we've put this information out, but people seem to be unaware. You know,
yes.
there are times when you feel almost you could hire a billboard and put the information out there, but someone in the church will say, oh, well, I didn't know that. You know,
yeah.
Sort of trying to get that information out is always a problem. And that's what is exciting to me about the relaunch of The Connection, because I think the way communication works best is when you have multiple different channels sort of working in a complementary way.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that The Connection is going to have sort of, if you like, sort of articles or little sort of snippets from Froomside as well as from Yate, means that actually that learning from one another has largely happened at ministry level will be made available to everyone. We will hear the stories about what's happening in Froomside. They will hear the stories about what's happening in Yate.
Yes.
And I think that will really serve well to reinforce this sense of partnership and together.
Exciting. Well, it's great to have your support, Ian, and I know Malcolm is also very excited to see how this podcast grows through the future. And please do, if you can, just listen and join every month. It's going to be a monthly edition where you can listen to some of the great stuff that happens within the mission area. We'll gloss over the retirement bomb that you've just dropped within the podcast at this point, but we'll talk about that another time.
People know my age. I've made no secret of this. It's not imminent, so don't worry anybody. You know, but people know that I am sort of, you know, not in my sort of strapping youth just at the moment. So yes, I have just passed my 66th birthday a few months back. Next birthday I'll be 67. You know, I'll be going on for, you know, more than a year.
Yes.
But probably less than 2 years. So that's, you know, gives a rough time frame.
Yeah,
but that,
definitely.
But certainly that's one of the reasons why the sort of this planned leadership handover is important to try and sort of get that sense. So the idea is that I'm around with Malcolm for a while so that he can ask me any questions he wants to about how the mission area works. I mean, he knows most of it already anyway.
Of course, but you're there to mentor him and support him in that handover. It sounds, so it's a great, very clever way of doing things. Yeah, well, fantastic. Well, next up, we've got a couple of articles to listen to. We've got an interview with Helen Belcher, who's going to talk about some mentoring that she's been doing with school children in St Mary's. And we've also got a chat with Chris Ainsley, who has recently stepped back from his ministry duties within Yate Parish. So next up, we have a regular face within Yate Parish, Helen Belcher, who has agreed to talk to us here on The Connection about her first year coaching for TLG, which stands for Transforming Lives for Good. Helen, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Justin. How are
Good.
You?
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you. I'm all right. Thank you so much for coming to join us today. We would just like to explore the article that you put within the Yate Parish newsletter. First and foremost, Helen, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where have you come from? How have you come to church? Just for the listeners to know who you are.
Okay. You can probably tell from my accent that I'm not from around here. I come from South Wales.
Okay.
I've lived in Newport and Cardiff until 11 and a half years ago. Lived there all my life.
Okay.
And moved into the edges of Chipping Sodbury 11 years ago. So we went for a while to a Baptist church, and then a few years ago we started to do some prayer walking with Howell on the new estate,
nice.
Before it was built, actually. Nice. So we were walking around when it was a construction place, and we're quite excited about the whole idea of mission going on in this new place. And then gradually we started to come to 6:30 praise as well, yep. when that started, and built up some really good friendships and connections with people. And we found ourselves after COVID settling much more within the parish, and well, here we are.
Here you are, absolutely. Good stuff. And it's phenomenal, isn't it, that the new building, Yate, it just gets bigger and bigger all the time. And it's great that even at the foundations that we were there, we were present, we were praying. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you want to find out more about the pilgrims and the work that goes on up there within the new building estate, within Yate, then do reach out to us, because we can signpost you that way. But what I wanted to talk to you today about, Helen, is evidently you're now a year into TLG, Transforming Lives for Good. So what is TLG?
It is a Christian charity that has the sole aim of working alongside children in school, okay. who are finding life, for whatever reason, a little bit challenging at the moment.
Okay. Yeah.
We have some good coaching facilities available to do that, and just the whole idea is that you walk the walk with your particular child.
Oh, nice. That's really good. And are you based in a particular school, or do you visit lots of schools within the area?
Mm-hmm. It's one particular school,
yeah.
and there's a coordinator within the parish, and it's nice. That is Reverend Joanne Hodge.
Nice.
She's our coordinator here. And we are based with St Mary's School.
Okay.
And there's a coordinator within the school as well,
fantastic.
Rachel Hill, so she is our link in school. And the idea is that you commit to doing 1 year of working with TLG.
Okay.
So it's not an open-ended contract, which no. I must say I found quite appealing at
yep.
the time,
yep.
Because I don't know about you, but maybe you've been in a position where you get into something and you're not quite sure how you're going to actually get out of it when
yeah.
the time no longer feels
I can
right.
relate to that.
So the fact that there was those parameters in place was quite appealing.
Okay.
And you work for 1 hour once a week with one child
okay.
for 1 year.
Okay. And it's the same child throughout
it's
that
same,
entire period.
It's the same child for that year.
Wow. Yes. So that's such a beautiful relationship to have. I guess there was a lot of apprehension before you went into
yeah.
that.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I have worked with children all my life.
Okay.
Nice. It was my day job before I semi-retired.
Yeah.
And so when I first heard about it in the through the parish,
yeah.
I was immediately really excited, and I thought, oh yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah,
something
yeah.
I really fancy doing. And then we did a bit of training as a group. There are six of us all together.
Okay.
And that was excellent. Having worked with children in primary and secondary settings,
yeah.
I have had a fair bit of training throughout the years.
Yeah, of course.
And I thought the training was excellent.
Oh, that's good.
It's never hurts to sort of refresh things and to learn new things yourself, does it?
No,
so that was really good. So yes, the very fact that you concentrate on building a relationship with one child
yeah.
for the whole of that year is something that's quite special.
Yeah, I can imagine. And I imagine that child really loved that relationship they had with you. I mean, you know, we've identified that you've come to this with already having an experience working with children. But like you said, you receive training anyway
yeah.
to enhance that relationship and the ability to coach through this project. So looking back at your first year, you've obviously, by the sounds of it, really enjoyed it. How did it go?
Generally speaking, very well,
yeah.
very well. I've actually coached, I'm on my second yearly child now,
okay.
but I also took on another child halfway through the year.
Okay.
And the experience for the three children has been very different.
Okay.
So I've had one child who, from the word go, was totally bought into this.
Oh, that's good.
And just wanted to be on board with whatever it was that we were doing.
Yeah.
Quite articulate, quite reflective, and enjoyed doing lots of different arts and crafts and things.
Yeah.
So that was great. It was quite straightforward to build a relationship with that particular child.
Sounds fantastic.
One of the other children,
yeah.
I must be quite candid here, was more of a challenge.
Okay.
And I think probably I started at Easter with this particular child, and last year. And from Easter until September was quite hard work. It was just a case really of turning up. And being there and being that consistent person who was going to be there and listen whatever was going on in this child's life, and however much this particular child made it very clear, I'm not very happy doing this. But the consistency paid off. And
being present, being there. That's good, isn't it? And there is that great relationship that comes, in this case, clearly over a bit of time. But
It did take a time, but it did bear fruit in the end.
And we live in a crazy world, don't we? Post-pandemic, you know, lots of children hadn't been schooled. The social component of children's life, it was missing for so long. So what a great time for you to be present in this coaching style with TLG. I mean, you've obviously come to the table with lots of experience working with children. I mean, has there anything that you've learnt within your first year and now into your second year that you'd like to share with the listeners?
Yes, I think it's the difference in the relationship, because when I've worked with children before, obviously it was my job. I supported a lot of children with additional needs and quite often with emotional and behavioural difficulties, sometimes speech and language issues, communication was a problem for them. So I was used to doing all that. But I think this is very different. It's very child-centred. So you just go at the pace of the child. And if it's your day job, very often you have other targets that you obviously have to meet. So it's a different pace of working with a child. And that, to me, has been one of the revelations of this last year, about how sometimes it takes quite a long time to build up that trust. So that's been useful for me to learn that. And to begin to understand the challenges that individual children are facing. Because I think all behaviours that we see in our children are them communicating with us. So it's about finding out what that communication is really all about, and not just reacting to the challenge that you see in front of you. So that for me has been really good. I've enjoyed doing that.
Well, that's good to hear that you've really enjoyed it, and and evidently you're carrying on. We talked about the fact you could have tapped out, you could have got out of this this very quickly, which is always a nice thing, isn't it? If you if you're not enjoying it, at least you saw there was an end in sight. But you've related to the fact that you're into your second year now. What are you looking forward to moving forward into your second year with another child?
I suppose it's that that time frame is important again, because it's about talking to your child in a fun way. Don't think that this is all about sitting there and doing the do's and the don'ts. It's not at all. We make paper aeroplanes, we do sewing, we build models, we do flip books. That's been a good one. All sorts of things that are fun to do.
Creative.
But yeah, but just actually while the children are busy doing, that's when they start to talk. And it's about just those little pointers in their lives that you can hopefully put there that help them to think about how they react and why they do it like that. And then that will help them to react in a better way, to respond in a better way, rather than react. That's a better way of putting it. And that's what I'm looking forward to now. It's a little bit like a puzzle from my point of view. About trying to pare back the stuff that you see that's very obvious. And to work out what makes them tick and what they are actually trying to express in the ways that they behave.
And through your training and through your life experience, you can unpick that and help them. And in the long term, I'm very confident that child will grow up and look back and really cherish that time with you. And with any other coaching that they've received.
Yes, yes. And I think that's what you have to always have in your mind, that you're not looking for instant results.
No.
Although sometimes you have really good results within the space of a week or two, where incidents do happen in school, and you've been able to step in and actually talk to your child about why they've done certain things or how they've responded and reacted to things, and to think about what might happen if they had done something different. So it's about using that difference. There's a little bit of, I don't know whether anybody who's listening might have actually done the Lent course that we've been doing this year, where we've been thinking very carefully about how we are present with people, how we are curious, and then how we can reimagine the future.
Yeah.
And actually, I think that's what this coaching is all about.
Yeah, of course.
It's being present. It's being curious.
Yeah.
Well, how did that make you feel then? And, I wonder why you did that. Can you explain that to me?
Yeah.
And then, what would have happened if?
Yeah. That's good, isn't it? To inspire the young person at whatever age to have that kind of train of thought. It sets you up for life. It's great life skills, isn't it? Really good. How's the interaction with the school, though? So when you're in, I guess you're not in the classroom. Do you go out into a space? The teachers obviously massively support your presence.
Yes, very supportive, which is great. We start off by talking, first of all, to their class teacher.
Yeah.
And there's a very brief form that they have to fill in, which gives an insight from their point of view as to how the child is and how they respond and how they react to things. Ideally, we like to talk to a parent or a carer.
Yeah.
That doesn't always happen.
Right. Okay.
But that again would give a different perspective on the child, because we all know that children behave differently in different situations, as we all do.
I can imagine. Yes. Yes. Yeah. I relate to that.
And then once we're armed with a little bit of information about the child, then it's about getting to know the child and to work with that. But yes, we don't go into the classroom other than to collect and take our children back if they don't do it on their own. We tend to sit in the hub, which is good because from a safeguarding point of view, you're visible there.
Yeah, of course, it's great,
We've all done DBS check-in and things, obviously.
Yeah.
And we take safeguarding very seriously. And that's our first conversation with the child, actually, about not keeping secrets and doing all those sorts of things.
Of course.
Where we're situated within the church, within the school, is good because you're right in the centre there. There are other groups coming and going, so it's quite a busy place.
Usually
quite quiet, but, you know, sometimes not. And if I'm honest, sometimes it's my child making the noise. So you're there. The teachers are more than happy if you need to just question something with them that's happened, or you need a bit of clarification, something that a child has said. Very, very supportive. It's great.
That's really good. And from the article you wrote, within the newsletter, you reference the fact that there are six mentors that are currently working in partnership with St Mary's School. But what happens if I'm a listener and I think, actually, this is something I could do? I could commit some time during the day to maybe be part of this process, and I could give something back to the young people of St Mary's and the other schools. I mean, any advice, and how do I go about being part of TLG?
Well, the first thing is, if there's somebody on the team that you know, have a chat to them.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody would be more than happy to sort of give you, obviously there's confidences that we have to keep, but, you know, just tell you what goes on. And then have a word with Reverend Joanne Hodge, because she's our coordinator. So she's the person who would be delighted to hear from you, I'm sure.
I can imagine, yes, of course.
And then it would be a case case of you obviously would have to do the training,
yeah, of course,
and do the DBS checking and all that sort of thing,
yeah,
before you could start.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's quite a lengthy lead-in process, but that I think that's fine because that also gives you a chance to reflect and to think about it, chance to talk to people.
Yeah.
I'm sure if anybody was interested that we could arrange for you to actually shadow a coach if you wanted to have a little bit more of an idea of what went on.
Yeah.
But yes, the commitment is not too onerous.
No, of course. Of
not
course.
At all. You have a computer program, you know, a website that you have to log into,
yeah,
and every week,
nice,
or so on.
Yeah, yes, of course.
I confess mine's not every week.
No, but still.
But still. You fill it in,
yeah,
with just some brief notes of what you've done with that child. So yes, it's very supportive, and we've got our coordinators here,
yeah,
both in school and in church,
yeah,
which are very useful because you know that if there's something that you're unsure about, that if I'm unsure about something, I can go and talk to Joanne,
yeah,
in confidence. She knows what's going on. She is a coach herself,
yeah, of course.
So she, yeah, you know, she knows what it's like on the ground,
yeah,
and I know that I can go and talk to her in confidence, and she will give her wisdom onto the situation.
Nice.
Because sometimes you just feel you can't see the wood for the trees.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have somebody else to be able to help you along there. So I never feel as if I'm there on my own.
No.
Which is also very supportive.
Yeah, that's good.
So, yeah, my advice would be, if this interests you at all, get in touch with somebody.
Yeah.
And find out a bit more.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Helen, for sharing your story. It sounds like you've had a wonderful year and you're already into your second year. And we're very confident that there are young people within the parish, within our local community, that is really benefiting from this, as they are with the other mentors themselves. And as Helen mentioned, if you want to find out more information about TLG and how you maybe could get involved, then reach out to Reverend Joanna Hodge, and she will steer you in the right direction.
Yeah.
Thank you, Helen. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesse.
Okay, so next up on The Connection, we are going to talk to Chris Ainsley. Now, welcome, Chris. Thank you for...
Love to.
Nice to come along
nice
and talk to us.
Nice to be talking to you all.
Yes. Chris, we're just talking to you today because evidently you wrote a nice article within the Eight Parishes magazine with regard to your time, but also letting us know that actually you're stepping down and taking a bit of a retirement phase in your life at this point.
Retirement?
Yeah.
My wife wouldn't agree. No, I've been very, very fortunate.
Okay.
The different chapters of my life have been all very positive.
Yeah, good.
And as in the original article, I left school back in the 50s and joined the Benedictine community of Buckfast Abbey.
Okay.
And we all have our own pathway, and that was a very important part of who I am as a person.
Yeah.
It gave me the foundations. And then I was ordained a Catholic priest in 1961.
A
bishop, Restio from the then Catholic bishop of Plymouth.
Yeah.
And the community wasn't strictly enclosed. There was a certain amount of parish work. I only did a very little bit. I gradually realised there was, as a person, I needed to be much more involved in the big family, Christian family, which is out there.
Yeah.
So, and we don't always know the signposts that God signposts.
And they're always changing.
And sometimes, And so it's, So, to cut a long story short, I left Buckfast and ended up in care work at one of the residential respite centres for the Multiple Sclerosis Society near Sevenoaks in Kent. I was there for nearly 2 years, and that really helped me to step on. And at that time, I had deep inner faith. But the outward expression of him going to church and that was minimal.
Okay.
And in my life, I've had these sort of desert areas.
Okay.
which I think have been very important.
Yeah.
Because you only realise the... I've grown to become very aware of the sacred nature of nature.
Okay.
There's an art, I'm reading a book called Karen Armstrong, who was a former nun, but had her own pathway. And it really sort of pinpoints there's a natural, in the last X hundred years, there's been not aware of the unity of mankind with nature.
Okay.
And I'm very much aware, certainly as an artist, when I look out at nature, of the presence of God there.
That's a great image to have, isn't it?
It is. It's because of the development of human nature in science, etc., etc. There's been a division.
Yes.
There's been division between the God there, nature there.
Yeah.
And we've just used nature as a resource.
Yeah, of course.
And not as an integral part of who we should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hopefully, in recent times, thankfully, to the power of David Attenborough, we've all we've been reminded that nature is so important.
But we still haven't. I think, especially in the present times that we're all living in, for whether you can almost socially, environmentally, that it's. And then so I did my 2 years, and that inspired me to train.
Yeah.
As a nurse.
Wow, fantastic.
French Air Hospital.
Nice. The good times.
In 73, qualified in 76.
Nice. So a nurse with strong faith.
That's
fantastic.
And in those, in fact, in those, faith for me was a very important part of it.
Yeah.
But I'm first to say I didn't go to church very much at all.
Yeah.
But I felt that God was holding my hand, you know, leading me in the correct way.
Mm.
And as I qualified in 76 and worked in plastic surgery in Burns.
Okay.
And that was the year that I met my Chris.
Oh.
Yeah. I was still a Catholic then.
Okay.
Catholic. And in... and we, the year we got married in 78, we moved to here in the 8.
Nice.
And I, Chris, got involved in the choir here, and I did. I was a Catholic, but in 79, then Rector Geoffrey Grant, and I was re-Anglicised.
Okay.
Because I was actually born. I was baptised as an Anglican, a baby, but I lost my father in the war. He was in Bomber Command.
Okay.
And my mother then, her own spiritual pathway became a Catholic, and obviously brought myself and my younger brother.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's so it was interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, a bit of a journey then from Catholics into Anglican and in the 8. And then your wife was a professional teacher.
She was at the Old King Edmund School here in 8.
Fantastic.
And she'd obviously been brought up South Bristol.
Yeah.
And sang in the St Peter's Church at Bishopsworth.
Yeah.
In the choir there, and.
So here you both were, both professionals, teacher and nurse, both strong with faith.
Yeah.
So what's the next bit of the journey then, Chris? How did you go from nursing to...
I ended, actually, my last 6 and a bit years, when I qualified, I worked on plastic surgery in Burns for 2 years and did general medical. And then there was a charge nurse post, which is equivalent to a sister, over the old Ham Green Hospital.
Okay,
And the charge nurse post was the first NHS purpose-built unit in the UK for physically disabled, Orchard View.
Okay.
And I applied for that and got it.
Really, well done.
And I had a wonderful team. We had about 30 beds in the unit, all purpose built, some were sort of four bedded, some single bedded units. Yeah. And I had a wonderful handyman, a social worker, physio, occupational therapist, and we worked as a team.
Yeah.
And I used to say to my, I had wonderful, we still have contacts now, yeah, meet up with Phelan in for lunch. Whitehead.
Yes.
but it was very important for me because, and I was coming back to, yes, when I was re-anglicised, I became much more involved.
Yeah.
In here and helping with services in one way or another. And being in charge, you know, being part of the team, buck standard with me.
Yeah.
But I used to say to my team, I said, it's like the spokes of a wheel.
Yeah.
If you remove one spoke, it's weakened.
Yes.
So each one of you
is
as in a team.
Of course, within the church,
as in a parish.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
And each one person has their own gift, God-given gift and ability and things, and it's the togetherness of that that brings back, hopefully, a positivity and a forward-looking.
Yeah, sure. Oh, that's a great outlook. And it's great that your belief, your Christ-like belief, fitted into your leadership strategy,
It's good,
Really good.
And I've always had a feeling towards meditation, although I'm first to admit, when I was at Buckfast, in those days, I left Buckfast since 1970, in those days, the monastic, with the different abbeys, Benedictine abbeys, there was meditation. But the real in contemplative thinking, which was the springboard, came from America.
Okay.
And it was interesting that Ian McFarland, who worked as a minister in his parish, and he went had a sabbatical year out in the States, and he explored that, and when he came back, and those who would like to be involved, there's only a few of us down at St. Nick's, Abbotswood, on a monthly basis, sometimes fortnightly, for a short meditation, and that really got me back into, and it, for me as an artist, it tied in with my feeling, having a bond with nature.
Yeah, nice. And it comes around in a big circle
it
then, doesn't
is,
it?
It is, yes. You know, and it's, as human beings, we like to have neat little departments, security.
Yeah.
But that can, it can cause closed doors. Mm. And even as an artist, I mean, I did a glass engraver, I was a fellow of the Guild of Glass Engravers for 43 years.
Wow.
And I was very lucky, very fortunate selling my work, but I realised that I need to explore new territory.
Yeah.
I need to come out of a nice greenhouse and go into pastures new.
Nice.
Not knowing quite what might
well, no one
before.
Ever knows, do they?
Yeah, yeah.
So you gave up your nursing. So you came to the end of your nursing career.
And then how it came, we were blessed with our daughter, our daughter Beth, in 87.
Okay.
And at that time, because my Chris, she was head of modern languages at King Edmund's School.
Yep, okay.
And she was earning far more as a head of language, and then I was as a charge nurse.
Okay.
Certainly, and also she's 12 years younger, so her working life is that much longer.
Nice.
So on purely financial, there were other reasons. And for us, it worked ideally.
Nice. So
and,
you became...
So I became a house husband.
House husband,
which,
nice.
Which in 87 wasn't very, very common.
No, I imagine not. And it's a very different generation.
And I remember when Beth was about two or three, on a Wednesday afternoon, Liz Gillespie used to run help room with Susan Johnson down at the Methodist place for an afternoon. So I was there, and they had, of course, tea, and I was the only, at that time, I was the only house husband there. And, of course, they had a tea rota. I remember saying, after a few weeks, I said, I'll go on a tea rota. There were sort of slight looks as much as saying, do you think he? So I put a few extra tea bags in there.
Nice, extra
strong tea. It was kind of dangerous. Yeah, and it was, And so it was a next stage. And for me, it was so special for all sorts of... As I say, I lost my father in the Maui Bomber Command. I was only five then.
Okay.
So I never had experience the fatherhood as a young child.
Yeah.
And here I was now a father to a beautiful daughter.
Nice.
And so it's me, it's been very, very special, and obviously for my dear Chris as well.
Of course. Yeah.
So that was the next chapter. So I became a house husband, got involved in all sorts, and once and there she started, she went to the old Rodford School, which was very, very good.
Yeah.
And so when she was at school, I was able to sort of develop my my glass engraving.
Got to find some other stuff.
And I met my Chris through music. We're both very keen recorder players.
Okay.
And I was playing in a quintet over in Bath, and this is sort of 76 when I met Chris, and a member. Anyway, to cut a long story short, Chris joined the quintet. That's how I met her.
Nice.
Yeah. It used to be the Food of Love play on. Nice. Playing all the right notes,
All the right notes, of course, all at the right times.
So I'm just very grateful to God for all the chapters. And as I say, sometimes I wouldn't be here, sitting here, if it wasn't for each chapter led me.
Life's rich tapestry, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. Very much.
Of course, at some point, Ian Wallace brought you back in, and you became very active within the church.
I mean, this was there again. I was used to help before Ian Wallace. He came with... The two previous, the minister, rector before, he didn't want me involved in, but I used to help with intercessions and things.
Yeah, of course, help where you can.
And Ian came on the scene in 2013.
Yeah,
and he obviously got to know his new parishioners, make sure they can give a nice cup of coffee and biscuits.
Of course.
And so he said to him, and he'd heard about my background.
Nice. And wanted to be part of it.
And he said, Chris, would you like to be more involved in the ministry?
Nice.
And that was God speaking through him.
Nice. And he referenced
And I said, and obviously the various boxes had to be ticked.
Of course.
Bishop Mike, the then Bishop of Bishop, did all the necessary, and they checked with the Abbot of Buckfast. And then in Easter 2014, I was given permission, PTO.
Nice.
Well, please turn over, but permission to officiate.
Permission to officiate.
Yeah, so we went, and Michael and I went over to Bishop Mike's over at Winterbourne.
Excellent. And that's great, isn't it? And so for a good 9 years then you were part of this, as you referenced, a special supportive ministry team. And, you became a regular face across the whole of the parish.
Yes, it's been very, very important for me.
Yeah.
And I'm just very thankful to God that I've been able to express my priesthood in the ways that I felt when I left Buckfast at that time. Obviously, I was... Because I left, I wasn't allowed to practice my priesthood as a Catholic priest. And so I was just very thankful to God that I was invited back to express in a very practical, in a parish context, those things.
So we move on to the fact that this year you've celebrated your 86th birthday, very happy birthday, and I hope you had a wonderful time. But you've now decided that actually this is the next chapter, which is to step back from your parish responsibilities. What's taken you there, and what's next? What's the plan?
Well, I'm very thankful that I've got very good health. I inherit my mother's genes.
Nice.
And for that, I'm very grateful to God for that. But I'm aware that I'm 86. None of us knows what the next chapter's going to be.
We never know.
And I count myself a big thank you to God that our dear daughter Beth has given birth to a little boy, Rupert John.
Oh, fantastic. Great name.
Absolutely fantastic. And so... Okay, they're at Shirehampton, so not right next door, but no. where you see them. And I just want to be more involved as far as possible. And each day for me, when I wake up, I say, thank God. Yeah. And I count each day as a blessing.
Yeah, of course.
For that.
Lovely.
When I had the discussion with Ian about my retirement, he did say that he himself had thought that perhaps it was something I needed to consider.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So I haven't completely withdrawn. No, did ask, and he was quite happy and supportive that maybe once a month I would do the 8:15 service here at St Mary's.
Okay.
And also, obviously, if a member of the ministry team is ill or on holiday and they need, in fact, this coming month, I'm helping out at St James at a service there.
Nice.
And then I love the Thursday midweek communion here, just a small group. And for me, that's very special.
Mm.
And so I do that maybe once or twice a month.
Nice.
And then my three nursing homes, Fairgrove, Stanshaw's, and The Meadows. Joanne Hodge and Hal Soak are taking over, because I used to do that on a fortnightly basis, but obviously with their pressures they can do monthlies. But I still take communion to two people.
Nice. So it sounds like you've had a wonderful time within the Eight Parishes.
I mean, what
a wonderful life you've had. And,
and
evidently you're suitably qualified to be looking after your new grandson. It's going to be fantastic. It's really good.
It's good, yeah.
And it's good to know that we'll still occasionally see you out and about within the parish.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's just brilliant.
It's good.
I'm just very, very grateful that God has given me all these little openings in which I'm invited.
Absolutely. Yeah. What a great story. Well, thank you, Chris, for sharing your very abridged version of your life, because evidently we can talk all day about this. Best of luck, and we look forward to seeing you and keeping in touch in the future.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Many, many thanks. Okay, lovely. Brilliant.
Next up, it's Father Ben Thompson from the Froomside Benefice to give us some interesting facts about Mothering Sunday.
Hi, my name is Father Ben Thompson, and I'm here to share with you three facts about Mother's Day and the church. Fact one is that in churches, we don't talk about Mother's Day so much traditionally as Mothering Sunday. Fact number two is that in the Church of England, we've only really been celebrating Mothering Sunday for just over 100 years. The concept of a special day called Mothering Sunday is really medieval, and it was only in the early 20th century that the practice was reinstigated by a woman called Constance Adelaide Smith. Fact number three is that Mothering Sunday in the medieval period was a great holiday where landowners and homeowners would let their stuff go home to the villages where they were brought up and the churches where they were baptised, to both be with their families, but also to return to those places they started their Christian faith and celebrate the concept that the communities that raised them were as much part of the mothering process as their individual parents.
Thank you, Ben, for those interesting facts about Mothering Sunday. And so that's it, the end of this month's edition of The Connection. We hope you've enjoyed the content and a bit of a sample of what to look forward to every single month. The good news is that we will be back in 2 weeks' time with The Connection Extra, where we've managed to capture some audio from Reverend David's installation and welcoming St Saviour's Church into the Froomside Benefice and the Mission Area. But we'll finish this evening with the new Mission Area prayer. Let's pray.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, through your varying being, you demonstrate to us the power of working together. We pray for both our benefice and our mission area. As we seek to establish your kingdom here, help us to understand the truth that we are a body of many parts and are dependent on one another to thrive. Give us grace to listen to our communities and to each other. Give us wisdom to seek the signs of your kingdom in our local community. Give us courage to step out in faith making your Son real to those we encounter, to the glory and praise of your name. Amen.
Thank you.